Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Many a parent has a heavy heart, knowing that their son or daughter is far away from them and from God. Today, a famous Bible story will give hope to all parents of prodigal children. Yesterday, we heard the sad account of Absalom. Today, we'll hear a story with a happier ending. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues his brief series on two prodigal sons. Listen now as we turn to the book of Luke and learn about the prodigal who came home.
The prodigal who came home. There are actually two kinds of prodigals. There are those who do not come home, and then there are those who do. This is just a two-part series, and in the first message, I spoke about Absalom, who was a prodigal who did not come home. He died in his rebellion. But today, we're going to talk about the prodigal who actually came home. This series of messages, series of only two messages, grew out of the fact that we've been praying for prodigals in our prayer meeting. Over the period of the last weeks, I've interviewed perhaps 20 or 30 pops, parents of prodigals. And we got the names of their prodigals, and I'm always interested in the context in which the children rebelled and left home and left God. And so we have these names on lists, and we are fasting and praying to see God bring prodigals back home. But one of the things we learned about prodigals, and you know that word means wasteful, the person who turns his back on God. What we learned is this, that there are really two kinds of prodigals in this sense as to why they leave home. There are those who leave home because of their home life. I was amazed, though I should not have been, that as I interviewed the parents, I discovered that there was divorce, sometimes there was abuse, sometimes there was the abuse of alcohol and so forth. And so the child decides to leave home, and he hates his mother and his father, and he says, "I also hate your God." And he leaves it all behind. I'm amazed at the number of prodigals who are angry. Prodigals, angry with their parents, with their circumstances, and with God. But then there are prodigals who come from fine homes, where there was no abuse, where there was nothing but love and caring and good teaching and good churches, and they became prodigals anyway. Because there was something within them that said that what we need to do is to find our own way. And they look at the world and they say to themselves, "We have been gypped. And what we want to do is to make sure that we go and we get it all. The lure of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life." That's the way it was in the story of the prodigal son, which is found in the 15th chapter of Luke's gospel. Luke chapter 15, he was from a fine home with a wonderful father. But it was the lure of the far country. If you have your Bible, the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, Jesus, who is a master storyteller, tells this very familiar story, which I'm sure you've heard many messages on. Verse 11, there was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of my property that's coming to me." And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave to him. What a rebellious, thankless son this was. First of all, he should wait until his father dies before he receives his inheritance. But he comes to his dad and said, "I can't even wait until you die. Give me my inheritance now. That little word, give me, isn't it in verse 12? I mean, that is the kind of entitlement. Give me what's coming to me. I have it coming to me. I deserve this. So the father, according to the laws of the Old Testament, gave him 1/3, and the elder brother would receive 2/3. Wordless, the father watches him go down the road, because the father knows what the far country is like. The father understands that the far country makes promises it cannot keep. The father knows that in the far country, all of the wells are dry. But interestingly, he doesn't try to talk the son out of it, because there comes a time in the life of a child where he has to make his own decisions. And so heartbroken and grieved because the son is turning his back on the father watches the kid leave. Let's look at the text and find out all of the steps that this boy took in the wrong direction. First of all, he goes away as far as possible. It says he went to a distant country. I want to go where nobody knows me, where I don't have any relatives and friends and an elder brother looking over my shoulder and telling me, you shouldn't be doing this. I want to go to New York. I want to go to Chicago. I want to go to Los Angeles, as far away as I can from home, so I can do my thing and nobody knows me. So he chooses the distant country. Also notice in the text it says he misuses the blessings of the father. He spends his property, his wealth that his father gave him, on riotous, reckless living. Now, just imagine that. Imagine the extent of the man's sin, this young boy. I mean, his father's money is to be used for things that would honor the father. And he takes the very blessing that the father gave him, and he sins against his dad by doing the kinds of things that would hurt and grieve his father. We've all been there, haven't we? God gives us blessings. He gives us health. He gives us strength. He gives us money. And we say to ourselves, it is mine. I'm going to do my own thing. And we use God's blessings and God's gifts to sin against him and to do what hurts him. Notice also he despised his religion. Certainly in the basis of the Old Testament in Jewish times, pigs were unclean animals, not just physically unclean. And pigs are physically unclean, but they're also ceremonially unclean. He's not supposed to get near them, but he doesn't care about what his religion teaches, because for him now it's a matter of survival. He's hungry, and there he is in the pigsty, willing to eat the pods that they were given to him. Now, I was brought up on a farm, and I'm kind of glad I left the farm behind, personally. And we had pigs. And I remember we had a pail that we used to call the slop pail. I don't know if we use that word nowadays, but now that it's out of my mouth, you know what I mean, the slop pail. All of the things from the table that wouldn't be eaten was put into the slop pail, and then the slop pail was given to the pigs. And there this young man is there, and the Bible says something very interesting. The key to the turn of his life is in verse 17, but he came to himself. Oh, what a wonderful phrase. Underline it in your mind and in the Word of God. He came to himself. Now, there are all kinds of reasons why he could have stayed in the far country. He could have said, like some prodigals, I'm going to die in the far country and I'm not coming back home. I don't care if I die out here. I don't care if I starve. I don't care if I get disease from these pigs. I'm staying here. He could have had a hard and rebellious heart, and he could have justified it in his own mind. He could have said, first of all, I can't stand the shame of going back to my father. If I go back to my father, I go empty-handed. He will know that I squandered everything that he gave me. He knew what the far country is like, and now I have nothing to present to him. And it's embarrassing to go back home and to say, Father, I bring nothing in my hands, and I cleave to your grace and mercy. That takes a lot of humility, and so he could have said, I'm not going to do that. He could have also said to himself, there's no use me going back because I can't keep up the rules of the farm. My dad has certain standards, and if I go back there, I am sure that I just can't measure up to what he wants. So I'm going to stay in the far country. There's another reason that he could have stayed in the far country, and I'm convinced it's a reason why many prodigals stay in the far country. He could have said to himself, I'm not going back to that goody-two-shoes brother of mine. You know, the brother who's never done anything wrong, who's worked hard on the farm, and the people in town say, here's a man who had two sons, and one of them is this rebellious kid who should be whipped, and the other guy, ooh, we wish we had a son like him. Works from sunup to sundown. Very, very reputable. The worst thing he's ever done, like one man told me, I've never sinned. The worst thing I've ever done is to take a pair of golf clubs and wrap them around a tree. Oh, are you impressing me with your sinlessness? My friend, today, you may be a prodigal. I'm not talking just simply to teenagers. I'm talking to adults. You could be an old man or an older woman and at the same time have a hard heart that refuses to go back to the Father and back to his children. Would you come before the Lord today and say to him, by your grace, I'm opening my heart to you. I'm giving up the bitterness that stands in the way of me coming back home. I love this story. I think all of us do, because it has such a happy ending, doesn't it? That when the prodigal does come back to the Father, of course, the Father welcomes him, and he begins to understand, that is to say, the prodigal begins to understand what a huge mistake it would have been to stay in the far country with a hard heart. Hardness of heart is what keeps people from responding to the love and the grace and the forgiveness of the Father. And you know, I want to say that if you have come back to the Father, or if God has spoken to you as a result of this message, would you connect with us? You'd go to moodymedia.org. That's moodymedia.org, and you click on the connect button. Tell us your story. We're anxious to hear about it. We always rejoice when a prodigal comes back home. And for the many of you who support this ministry, thank you very much. We are dependent upon your faithful prayers and your faithful gifts. And as a result of what you have done, we continue on the air, sharing the gospel with thousands of people around the world. We appreciate so much our partners. And of course, as a result of you supporting us, we in turn want to bless you in as many ways as we possibly can. You connect with us. God bless.
When your life has sunk to the bottom, you realize you're about out of options. From the bottom, the prodigal son came to himself. He resolved to come home to his father. Next time on Running to Win, the story continues. Both messages on the two prodigal sons can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.